What a joy to be here this evening, and thank you for coming. A little bit about me. My name is Bobby Abraham. I moved to Cambridge from India about 8 years ago with my family to join AstraZeneca. Most people assume Indian bloke with glasses, perhaps a scientist, a doctor, but not so exciting. My background is more corporate finance and business transformation. I'm married to Sarah, and we have two young teenagers. Jordan is 15, and our daughter Mia is 13. And any parent here knows that having teenagers is the most creative way to stay humble. I grew up in Bangalore, in the south of India, and I come from a Syrian Catholic background. And when I say Syrian Catholic, not the populist CEO kind of Christian. Do you know what that is? That's Christmas and Easter only kind of Christian. That's not the kind of Christian I was. I grew up in a very staunch Catholic home. My father was a civil servant in the Ministry of Science and Technology in India, and he was a deeply committed lay member of a Syrian Catholic Liturgical Association. Think of it as a governing council of an ancient Eastern Christian tradition that actually predates the Church of England by about 1,000 years. So not exactly a casual job for him. And the church that we attended, it was really the fabric of our entire being. I was baptized as an infant, went to Sunday Mass, followed every ritual. I was the altar boy. I had to wake up very early on a Sunday morning, cycle about 5 miles to get to church, arrive there before anyone else, clean up the altar. I had to light the coal that's needed for incense. I had to chant all the prayers, all in a language that I half understood. So from the outside, I looked like a very committed Christian. But the honest truth is, I had religion, and I did not have anything real. Fast forward into beyond my teenage years and into my life after college, after university, I had a corporate career in banking and financial services, and success came very early. New titles, bigger teams, travel across America, Europe, name it. And for a boy from India, from a working class family, that was huge. And with that came something I didn't see coming, pride. Not the healthy sort, but the kind that quietly closes the door on anything deeper without even you noticing you've done it. So I looked like I had everything, but underneath, inside of me, I was just running on empty. That's me.
Okay, that's a very interesting start to it all. So you say you were running on empty. You say you had religion. So then how did you become a Christian then?
I would say it happened in stages. It wasn't a single lightning bolt moment. For me, it was more like somebody kept turning the lights up gradually until I could not pretend it was still dark. The first flicker came through a friend of mine. His name is Gideon. We're still friends. We had set up a small business just together in our 20s. We were young. We made a lot of money, and we didn't spend it very wisely. But Gideon had started to change, and I was observing him. I could see that something had moved within him. He was more calmer. He was more grounded. And he told me he had become a Christian, and started sharing his faith with me, and I noticed the difference. But I wasn't ready to ask why and what had changed. And then in 2004, a colleague of mine from Texas, a man called Reagan, he handed a Bible to me and shared something of his own story. I received it very politely. I'd say very British of me. I smiled, I said thank you, and I filed it away. But something had been placed in my hands, and around that time, underneath all of the busyness and all of the ambition, I started to feel genuinely just hollow and empty inside. And I started to pray, not the kind of chanted, formal, beautifully rehearsed prayers that I'd grown up with, but something that was more honest and almost like I was stalking into the dark. God, are you there? Are you real? Lead me. I wasn't sure I was doing it right, but I was talking into the dark. I'd also started praying for a life partner, because I'll be honest, my kids are here. Teenage romance had left me thoroughly unimpressed. And if there was any young people, if there are any young people here tonight, wondering whether God cares about that sort of thing, he does. He just has considerably better taste than you do when you're 17. So if you're a young person here, do pray for your future life partner. And Sarah came into my life a few years later. And Sarah comes from a very different Christian background, one that believed only in what the Bible taught, not the earthly traditions, but just where she came from. Sarah's father and her grandfather were both very well-known preachers and evangelists across India. So picture the situation. A Syrian Catholic boy from Bangalore and a girl from a family of evangelists. So getting these two kind of families, and in India, marriages are big and you really need parental approval. The families have to approve, the church have to approve for this sort of thing. So getting both families to agree to this marriage was a exercise in diplomacy, I'd say, and that would have required perhaps a summit between the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Pope in Rome. Eventually, we did get married in 2007, and it was really my wife's faith that was lived out quietly. She never really pushed. That began to open my eyes, not through argument, but through conviction. And she knew what she believed in and why she believed it. And watching that steadfastness in her made me want to have what she had, almost like my friend Gideon 15 or 20 years before that. So shortly after we were married in 2007, we started going to a small Bible study. The man leading the Bible study was a very kind and patient and gentle man. He did not make me feel like an outsider. One evening, he drew a simple diagram on a piece of paper. It was these two mountains and this vast gap in between, and a cross that made a bridge between these two mountains. And various part of that illustration was about darkness and light. And he asked me, where do I stand? I didn't know where I stand. I thought I was somewhere there, struggling. And it took me a few more months of just going through a very difficult season at work, but at the same time, opening that file, that cabinet that I'd filed away, this beautiful Bible that Reagan had given me. And all of this humbling experience actually made me have to be a little bit more honest with myself. My prayers from praying out into the dark actually just started to change. And it was moving from comfort me prayers, which is give me this, get me that, can you help me with this, help me with that. So I call them comfort me prayers, to conform me prayers. And that was really the shift and change in my heart. And the first was just something that started to change within me. And I started to recognize that God is not finished with me yet. And the Bible really led me to this page in the book of Matthew, which said, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So I was very tired. I needed rest. The following year, in 2008, I got baptized, a decision that cost something with my Catholic family, who found it very hard to understand, but it was the right step. A real public way of saying, I'm not renouncing my family, but I'm choosing something real. And since then, I'm not a finished work. God is still at work in me, but I'm different, and I know for sure what I believe in and why I believe it. And just in a world with so many conflicting ideas in social media, I just stood grounded on the fact that the Bible says, in the book of John, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So it just feels like it's very exclusive, but actually it's one of the most open invitations I've ever encountered. It didn't say that the clever get in first, or the religious, or the sorted. It just says anyone. And that's my story, and I'm glad to share it here with you today.
Praise God for his grace, for never giving up on you. So what can we learn from this? What can we take away from all this, Bobby?
I was thinking about it, and I think just very directly but very warmly to say to anyone here tonight who isn't sure where they stand with all of this, the picture of those two mountains and the cross making that bridge. Maybe a friend brought you along. Maybe you're here going through something difficult. Maybe you're simply curious. That's where I was. And there's no version of you that is too messy or too skeptical, too complicated, or too far away from God. I arrived at this with a head full of religion and a mind full of ambition. And neither of them was enough. I had an empty heart. If tonight something has stirred in you, even the faintest sense of maybe, I'd simply say, don't dismiss it. Don't file it away politely like I did. Talk to someone here and give it a little room. And in my experience, when you start looking honestly for the truth, you find you were looked out for from the beginning. And God is real, you are real, and make that real connection.